We're going to be all over the place today. Whoa, it's a little too hot here, Joe. We're going to be all over the place today, as far as verses and go. And a lot of them are not going to be on the screen, so Joe, you're going to have to really just kind of pay attention because it's not going to be in order here. All right. How many of y'all saw the title? This is still too hot. Okay. How many of y'all saw the title of the message this week? Oh, come on. All right. You saw it? No one else saw it. You remember? You remember what it was? Come on. Huh? Okay, I got you. But it reminded me, it reminds me of a song every time I hear it. Love will keep us together. And right now that song is playing through your head. No, yeah, right, it is. For some of the younger folks, which not a whole lot in here, but most of y'all should know it. But for some of the younger folks out there maybe watching, they're going, what song is that? A song by Captain and Tennille. And it was a very, very number one hit back in our day, Terry. Whether you liked it or not, you couldn't help but hear it. But there's some meaning. And the reason why that song was so popular is because of the times that it was written in. It was a very tumultuous time in the time of our nation. We were being split apart by things of this world and things that were from overseas. It was a very trying time. And the message of love will keep us together was something meaningful. And you know what? I think in this time, it's almost been a year since we've fractured our services and our families have been fractured. Our society has been fractured. Our nation has been fractured. And you wonder what possibly can happen after this is all done and said. Can we keep it together? Can we keep our church family together? Can we keep our families together? Can we keep our nation together? And the words of that song and this title of this message tells us that absolutely we can. By love. First John, the 4th chapter, verse 7. I worry about our churches, not just ours, but our churches in general. And as this has went along, at first during the summer, it felt like that, we got this, and now people are starting to go, what's going to happen after? How many folks are actually going to come back? How many folks are actually going to, is church a priority? And you go through a bunch of stuff mentally, wondering, what is it that we have to do to keep it together? Let's read. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. We love each other not because we like each other's personally sparkling personalities. That's not the reason. We love each other simply because of the way we look. That's not the reason why we love each other. We love each other not because we're all rich and we all have all these things. That's not the reason why we love each other. The reason why we love each other is because the love is of God. And everyone who is born of God knows God, so therefore we have the love of God within us. And we are, because of that love, we are drawn to each other. Let us love one another. We are born of God. So we got to come to the point where we understand what it is that is holding us together. In Philippians, the first chapter, we're going to find the first verses 3 through 6. It says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. In order for a group of people to gather and meet on a regular basis, there has to be something that keeps them together. And that's what I'd like to look at today. What is it that keeps this church together? What is it that has held and sustained us in the past? And what is it that's going to keep us together in the future? You see, salvation through Jesus Christ held them, the Church of Philippi, those group of people in that church there, it held them together. So how can sharing the salvation offered through Jesus Christ unite and hold a group of people together? It's our salvation holds us together. You see, salvation offers us freedom from the past. Not everyone has past that they're proud of, probably most of us. But that salvation offers us freedom from that past. Isaiah 1:18 says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. And though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. It offers you a break from that sinful past that you had. A sinful nature that you had. Salvation also offers purpose for the present. Right now, it offers you a purpose. In Mark 16:15, it said, and he said unto them, go into ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's our purpose. That's our mission. We all have the same mission, by the way. That mission's not just mine, but it's yours. And he's given it to us. So not only has all of us, as children of God, he has taken us away from our sinful past, but now he offers purpose for our present right now. We have purpose in life. Every one of us together, come together, we have the same purpose. I want to see souls won to Christ. And that's the reason why we come together. And then salvation, the thing that we all have together, offers hope for the future. Philippians 1:6, it says it this, being confident in this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. God didn't just save us and say, all right, that's it. He's working with each and every one of us. He is using us to mold others. It's the reason why we have a church. And we don't do this by ourselves. Is that he is working within each and every one of us. He may be working within one of you to help me become who he wants me to be. And that's the reason why church is so important. If you don't belong to church or in fellowship with your church people, your church family, you lose the opportunities, some opportunities for God to be able to finish molding and creating you and making you. So salvation through Jesus Christ is what held them together and it's what holds us together. Another thing that holds people together in a church is servanthood. Servanthood held them together. Philippians 4:10 says, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last of your care of me has flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. 4 verses later, notwithstanding, you have done well that ye did communicate with my affliction. In our Christian walk today, the spirit of servanthood can manifest itself in at least 4 ways. Serving one another. One is that we bear each other's burdens. I can't do anything about your burdens, but I can help share it. I can help try to make it easier for you. I can help and give you, tell you that someone cares, that someone loves you, and that someone is praying for you. We can help ease each other's burdens. Galatians 6:2 says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." That's what we're to do, is to bear each other's burdens. I've got a bunch of burdens of my own, guys. And sometimes I don't think I could take any more. But we're here to bear each other's burdens. And as you take and you bear some of mine, I'll bear some of yours. And then all of a sudden we realize that we've got each other's backs. We've got people, saved children of God, who cares and loves you just as Christ loves you. Another thing that we can do is pray for each other. And I'm not talking about the casual little prayer and pray for the sick. I'm talking about praying for someone. I mean, we need to be praying for Brother Gene. He's having this week, and I forgot to mention this in prayer requests, but this Wednesday he's having his battery replaced. And you say, his heart, his pacemaker. You say, well, that's not a big deal. It is for his age. We need to pray for him. We need to pray for all of these. Now, I don't mean all the time, everywhere we go, but I mean take that special moment, and because you care, and we all care enough that we sit down and we begin to pray, God, take care of this in your own will, in your own way. I care about these folks. It says Philippians 1:4 says, "Always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy." Prayer will hold us together. And then loving one another. We just talked about 1 John 4:7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that is loveth is born of God and knoweth God." In 1 John 2:9, "He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in the darkness even until now." Our churches today, I would say this, I wouldn't say it today, but in the past, have been filled with hate and dissension among its members. You say, I don't remember. Well, maybe not as much in this church, but you've been parts of churches that has. You've seen people in churches who have been filled with hate and their dissension among the members. I've been there. I've seen it. Do you know what that's really telling me? And by reading the previous 2 scriptures, it's telling me that our churches are filled with people, with lost people, who are claiming to be Christians. It's perfectly clear that if love is not present in someone's life, that God's not present there either. Is that not what you get from those passages? So what can we do about it? The best thing that we can do is not to examine the walk of others. Start saying, well, we need to take Susan back there. We need to examine her life because she may be the problem. No, we don't need to do that. Charles, we're not going to do that to you either. Terry, no, I'm not doing it to Terry. I need to do it to mine. Need to examine my life. We've got to make sure that there's no hate in our own hearts. See, that starts from within. We examine ourselves. In doing so, we need to take a close look at our walk with God and make sure that our own walk with God is genuine. In 2 Corinthians 2:13-5 says, "Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not that your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates?" Examine yourself. How can you be doing and thinking and feeling these things when you claim that Christ is in you? And so if our church wants to hold together, we have to love one another. And the last thing here in this first part, what has kept us together, is esteeming others better than ourselves. In Philippians 2:3 tells us, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, and let each esteem other better than themselves. The only way for our church to hold together is for every member to put aside his or her selfish desires and place other needs before our own. These times have been tough, and it's been real easy to kind of separate yourself, to take care of your own stuff first. It's been easy. That's what we've been kind of told, and that's what we've kind of been forced to do. But we need to put our needs second and put others' needs ahead of our own. The most important bond holding any church together is the salvation of its members. Salvation offers freedom from the past, purpose for the present, and hope for the future. And there has to be a common belief of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior for any kind of peaceful relationship to exist. Along with that, salvation should be a spirit of servanthood among the people. And if we can bear each other's burdens, if we can pray for each other, if we can love one another and esteem others better than ourselves, we can create a powerful bond that will never be broken. So we have to ask ourselves, where does our church stand today? Where would it stand in the future? And I want you to think about how you and me can make a difference. So what will keep us together? And we'll find that in Colossians, the first chapter, verse 9 through 13. We'll be looking at verse 9 first. "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." We need to be filled with the knowledge of His will. I need your prayers. I need to know what His will is. When this is over, we need to know what direction to go. I'm not sure what this church will look like when this is over, and it will be over. I'm not sure, if this is a reset. I'm not sure if we need to not go back to the same things that we've done in the past, or maybe try something a little different. The way we present the gospel of Jesus Christ, I do not know. So I need your prayers. I need to know the knowledge of His will. Because that's the only thing that we need to worry about. Not our own preferences. Not the way we want things to be. But the way He wants it to be. So, and if we don't walk the way He wants us to walk, do the thing, have knowledge of the... If we come to the knowledge and we say we're not going to go that direction, let me tell you, we can't be held together. In verse 10, it says, "That ye may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." We need to be walking worthy of the Lord. If we're going to stay together, we need to start walking together in the way that He wants us to walk. And what that word walking doesn't mean that we got to go out and start walking the neighborhood. What that means is that we're going to start living our lives the way He wants us to live our lives. And when we live our lives together, do you realize that what happens in churches when people who are covenanted together, who love each other and one begins to sin and break us to go astray, it hurts everyone. Every single one. And it hurts the work of God. We need to walk worthy of the Lord. And that's how we keep together. And then also in that same verse, pleasing Him. Fully pleasing Him. We ought to take more consideration to that. Instead of worrying about what pleases us, we ought to be asking what pleases God. Today, there is so much strife. Or I say today, that's all been put on hold. But it's about what pleases man in our worship. What's going to please man? We shouldn't worry about what pleases man. We're not worshiping man. We should be worrying about what pleases God. And you know how that happens? When we have our hearts correct. It won't matter what kind of song we sing. It won't matter what kind of, you know, what kind of service that we have. It won't even matter what kind of sermon that I preach. If our heart is right, we'll be truly worshiping God and pleasing Him. It also tells us in there that we ought to be fruitful in our works. If we're going to be held together, we're going to have to be fruitful in our works. And what does that mean? It doesn't mean to go plant your garden, Terry. What that means is our lives must be showing the fruits of the Spirit in our lives. If we're going to try to win friends and influence people by the Word of God, we are certainly going to have to show them that we have been won and influenced by God. We're going to have to show the fruits of our labors. It's going to be more than just saying, yeah, I'm a Christian and I go to Olive Hill. It's got to be more than that. It's got to be more. You've got to show people by your fruits. Also in verse 10, there's a lot of stuff in that verse 10. But look, increasing in our knowledge of God. We talked about that. We've got to study. We've got to know. If you want to know how I think, you need to come talk to me. I'll tell you how I think. You may not like it. You may disagree with it. But I can tell you what I think. So how are you going to know what God wants you to know? Unless you come to know God. Read His Word. Talk to Him in prayer. Allow Him to help you and come to know the knowledge of Him more closely, intimately. In verse 11, it says, strengthen with all might according to His glorious power for all patience and long suffering with joy. You've got to be strong in patience, long suffering, and joy. I'm about lost patience, have you? Long suffering? Yeah. Got to be strong in patience, long suffering, and strong in joy? Well, the thing is that it's according to His glorious power. On my own, there is no way in the world that I could be patient and long-suffering and have joy. But through His power, we can. That'll keep us together. Can you imagine, even amidst all the terrible things that have happened over this past year and that are happening now, that when we come together, we put a big smile on our face and we sing with joy. And that we'll say, we can't wait till He comes back. It's going to happen. And we can actually become joyful. And in our worship, we sing praises to the One who saved our soul. And we realize that all this really doesn't matter. What matters is He has come into our hearts and our lives and saved us. In verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. We mean thankful. For the inheritance. And your inheritance is, well, I hope your inheritance is given by God because you're one of His children. You're the saints in light. A light that's never kindled and never quenched. You see, we may dabble in the darkness, but as children of God, we should be walking in the light. We should be thankful. for the power of deliverance from the power of darkness. Thankful for being placed in the kingdom of heaven. Thankful for the redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ. Thankful for the forgiveness of sins. And yet we complain. Are we not much better than the children of Israel when they crossed over the Jordan River on dry land? I mean the Red Sea on dry land. Are we not? And they grumbled and mumbled because they were tired of this manna sent from heaven. Are we not much different? So what could break us apart? What is it that could break us apart? Galatians 1:6 says, "Our marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you to the grace of Christ to a different gospel." You need to go to verse 7 and 8 too, if it's on there. I don't know if it is or not. Yes. "Which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed." So listen. What could break us apart? Listening to those who pervert the gospel. Anyone who preaches something other than the gospel is accursed. And we have a responsibility and a right to make sure that we are hearing the truth by examining what others say about the gospel. Listen. I am almost positive and sure that there are many who have passed through these doors back there who have come in, heard me preach the gospel, and turned around and walked away. Didn't like the what I said, how I said it, way I looked, all, you know, the whole shebang. I'll tell you, I've preached truth. Have I made mistakes along the way? Yeah, but I preach truth, biblical truth. And I can't change that. One of the things that is tempting is to try to change the way that I present the gospel to people. Without help, I could do the full deal of, "Hey, everybody, God is great. He loves you, and He just wants to make you wealthy." You know, I could do that, but it's not the truth, and that ultimately won't keep us together. Only the truth will keep us together of the gospel. We have this responsibility to study the scriptures for ourselves. If all you're getting is from me, you'll only know what I know. You'll only learn what I learn. And it ain't much. It ain't enough. I can't share with you what I know in all things, because I don't know enough to share with you in all things. But you can learn for yourselves. You can open the book. I love it when people call me and I know they've been studying for themselves. They'll ask me a question. "Well, I've been looking in this. I've been looking at this passage. Can you tell me what this may mean? I'm a little confused." I love that, because it tells me that people are learning the scriptures, and they'll know if something's wrong with my preaching. They'll know if I'm telling you the truth or not. Galatians 1:10, it tells us, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." Who are we trying to please? Seeking to please men creates a friendship with the world. And this friendship is not of Christ. And what that means is, it doesn't mean that you can't have friends who's not of Christ. Matter of fact, you better. How else are you going to win them? Okay? What it's talking about is, who are you trying to please? Are we trying to please men? Are we trying to please countries? Are we trying to please Facebook, social media platforms? Who are we trying to please? "Oh, I can't do that because they'll get mad at me." No, I'm sorry. The truth is the truth, and we got to present the truth and stop trying to please men. A servant of Christ only should be trying to please his master. And if he's trying to please men instead of God, then who truly is his master? In Galatians 3, 2 through 3. The only thing I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now being made perfect by the flesh? Salvation does not come from works, but by faith. A lack of faith brings about a trust in the works of the law. Trusting in the works of the law is foolish. See, the purpose of the law is to bring you to repentance. To know that you can't actually do the law. That you have to have Jesus Christ. Only He can provide your justification, your redemption. Nothing that you can do. A lot of folks today who are lacking in that faith in Jesus Christ. And if you have a church that are full of faithless people, there will be nothing that will keep them together. In Galatians 4, 8 through 11 tells us that they're turning away from the truth. The Galatians were returning to the gods that they knew before and once again been practicing pagan worship. They were turning away. They were going back. They had come to know the truth and then they turned away to go back to their old lives and their old gods. Isn't that what's happening today? I fear this more than anything else. People who had come and worshiped for God for years, and because of this, they are out in the world and they begin to worship the former gods that they had before. Terry, we're going to see that a bunch. We're going to see it a bunch. They're going to trust. They trust in the law. And Galatians 5, 1 and 6 tells us about them trusting in the law, seeking salvation through following the law, puts us in debt to the whole law. Depending on the law makes Christ's work on the cross meaningless. Obedience to the law leaves no room for Jesus Christ and His grace. And when you have a church that's full of Pharisees, that does not hold you together, because none of us can hold up to the standard of the Pharisees within. In Galatians 5, and this is on the board, Galatians 5, 13 through 15. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. Biting, devouring one another will bring us down. Slander, gossip, and arguments among believers accomplish this. It can be avoided by serving and loving one another. Even in this pandemic, this can happen. We can't tear each other apart. We have to pull ourselves together. We need to love each other. Love will keep us together. In Galatians 5, we're looking through verses 16 through 21. Fulfilling the lust of the flesh is something that will keep us apart, break us apart. It shows that someone is not walking under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. If we're walking as a church, if we're walking as the flesh, looking at things as the flesh, we're not under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit can't keep us together if we're not willing. Galatians 6, 7, and 8 talks about sowing to the flesh. If everything's about us and the world and never about God. Do you know there are lots of church services today and other, hopefully not here, in other areas, other churches that will meet. They'll have a song. They'll have a sermon. They'll say a closing prayer. And they'll walk out. And there will be not one thing spiritual about the whole thing. There will be not one, the Holy Spirit not working on one heart. because they had sowed to the flesh and they're going to reap from the flesh. And finally, in Galatians. Y'all glad I said the word finally, aren't you? Galatians, the 6th chapter, verses 9 and 10. It's one of the things that is one of the biggest problems I think we're going to have. Why we can't keep ourselves together. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? I've grown weary, have y'all? We can't. While doing good in due season, we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Do not lose heart. Let's do good to all. We just keep being who we are. And as children of God, proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ to all. That's our purpose. That is what will keep us together. His love in us. And us loving one another. Helping each other up as we go through this life. In these hard times. Looking forward to whether he comes back tomorrow and everything is good. Or 6 months from now and we begin to put our church back together. We just keep doing good. And we're going to leave all the rest in his hands. If you're here today and you do not have love for your brother, if you've been walking according to the flesh, you've been putting the world as your God instead of God, maybe you haven't let the Holy Spirit lead your life instead of spending what you want. These are all things that can harm our church and can keep you to split us apart. I know that from experience because it's happened many, many times in the past. And the Word of God tells us that's what happens. We're going to hang in together. It's going to have to be together. And we can't grow weary. Yes, I've struggled with this for a long time already. I'm tired. I'm ready for it to be over. And each and every time that I felt myself too weary to go on, I prayed to God and I said, Lord, come quickly, or Lord, it's in your hands. I don't know what's going to happen in our lives and in our church. I don't know. We could have a huge revival and this whole community gets one for the Lord. That's what I pray. I pray for that to happen. It may not. All of these other things that could tear us apart may interfere and do it. In all honesty, there's not a whole lot I can do about if someone hears the problem. I'm presenting it to you and I'm hoping we'll all examine our hearts and our lives so that we'll not be the problem and that we will stand firm, that we will love each other, that we will present the gospel of Jesus Christ to all who, and that we'll have joy in our hearts and our lives despite everything that happens. Don't get tired. There's hope. And you say, Brother Randy, it could just get worse. Yes, it could. We could lose everything. We can lose everything except for one thing, and that's Jesus Christ. And if you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, into your life, you will lose everything because you never had him. You could never have the love and togetherness in a church family. You could never have it the way we have it unless you know him as Savior. I'm fully convinced that the Lord's dealing with hearts and minds today, whether it be for salvation, whether it be for our own lives, whether or not it be for our futures. But I know there's concerns. Maybe God's speaking to you today about that. This is your opportunity to respond to God. And once again, the only answer you can really truly give God that will be acceptable is yes. Just tell him yes. So as we stand and we prepare for an invitation, this is your opportunity to give it to him. To deal with him directly. I can't intercede for you. I can just pray for you, but ultimately it's up to you. Are you giving your heart and your life to Him? Are the things that were mentioned today, are they driving us apart, or are we the problem? Examine yourself. I'm not going to do it because I've got enough issues on my own. Are we lifting each other up in love and prayer and burdening, taking each other's burdens and cares? I don't know. Examine that for yourself. So as we sing today, will you give your heart and your life to God? Whether it be in salvation, whether it be, whether it's just simply you put other gods before Him.